Kitchen Tune-Up can tunify your kitchen and give you a functional and inviting space in only 1 to 5 days. And many projects are only $99 to $249 a month. Request a free virtual consultation at kitchentuneup.com and get ready to love your kitchen again.
8:40 on your Tuesday morning. Now look, we're walking around with more knowledge in the palm of our hand than we have ever even been able to imagine before. I mean, the internet and the easy, quick access to it provides instant information and answers to questions. And that's not always a good thing. Our next guest knows that firsthand. She is a self-professed symptom Googler. She's written a book. Casey Guerin is the former health editor at Self Magazine, and her new book is called It's Probably Nothing, The Stressless Guide to Dealing with Health Anxiety, Wellness Fads, and Overhyped Headlines. Casey, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I feel like this is a book that we need now more than ever because of the reason I just said. There's so much information out there that it can be a little scary sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, It's Probably Nothing is about how to sort through all of those messages because we are getting bombarded with them all the time. And it can be really hard to know who to trust and what to believe and what to share. So this book is kind of a health editor's tools and tips to navigate that a little bit more effectively.
I've got to ask, did the idea for this come before or during COVID?
Actually, before COVID. So I've been someone who has been very anxious about my health for as long as I can remember. And I've been a health editor, ironically, for over a decade. And this was just something that, you know, I realized that as a health reporter, you know, we learn to ask certain questions and dig through the research and all that medical jargon and distinguish between what's a legit source and one that's not. What wellness trend is bogus and what isn't. And I realized that these are tools that could really help the average person to just better navigate all that health information that's out there. And then, of course, the pandemic happened, and the stakes became a lot higher when it comes to navigating that information and misinformation.
Oh, boy, absolutely. No doubt about that. I feel like, you know, all of our bodies do weird things from time to time. You know, the shooting pain, you know, quick shortness of breath. When it happens once and doesn't happen again, I think you just chalk it up to, well, that was a weird thing. But when it happens more often, that's when you should start to pay attention to it, right?
Right. And I think there are so many people, I mean, I realized this when researching for the book, that we pay attention even on that first time, and we kind of pay too much attention,
right.
And then we're like, oh my gosh, what is that? And we're Googling it, and we're freaking out, and it makes it just kind of louder in our minds. And you're right, our bodies do all sorts of weird, noisy things all the time, and it's often no big deal. It's usually nothing. But when you go to Google and you seek reassurance that way, you can often go down a rabbit hole of a lot of things that you might be dying from. And I've worked with a lot of these media brands. I know why those articles get made, but it can be a lot when you're already stressing out about something.
I'm wondering how the medical field, and by that I mean established doctors, your family physician, the doctor that you trust with your health care, how do they feel about all the information out there? It's got to be frustrating, I would think, for a doctor to know that rather than calling on them for a serious health issue, people are Googling or going to other websites to get information.
Right. Yeah. The response I've seen is a bit mixed, but I have a wonderful doctor who wrote the foreword of my book, Dr. Jen Gunter, and she mentions in the book how, you know, the internet and access to all of this health information can be great. You know, it can really democratize the amount of health information that we have access to and can afford. But at the same time, if you don't really know what to trust and how to search in an effective way, it can just kind of lead to your stress. And yes, can sometimes make the doctor's job a little harder if you come in with 20 things that you think you have that you don't necessarily have the symptoms for. So I think that doctors do want you, of course, to be informed and to feel empowered to ask these questions and come with some research that you've done. But they also realize that the internet can be a bit of a mess sometimes.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because, like I said, there is so much information out there and misinformation or you know, out and out, you know, false information. But some of it is attributed to actual doctors. So you can find information, whether it's COVID or something else, that comes from a doctor, but that may not be a reliable source.
Yeah, that is the trickiest part. And I wish that there was a very easy answer for that. But I think, you know, something that I've heard from a lot of doctors and researchers in reporting around this topic is that you want to look for the primary source of that information. And we often think, well, a doctor is a primary source, right? Well, not necessarily. If they weren't the ones who did that research, who studied that particular treatment or supplement, then, you know, they are a very knowledgeable source, but they might not be contextualizing that research in the right way. So you want to always kind of go back to what is the primary source of that information, and, you know, what is the peer-reviewed research telling us? What are the major medical organizations telling us? I would just be wary of the one or two louder individuals who are going against those bigger, broader bodies of evidence.
Yeah. So what are some good information sources if we're looking for medical information for ourselves? What's a good place to go to?
Sure. So, of course, always, you know, a health reporter is going to recommend the CDC and the World Health Organization, the FDA, these big major medical organizations, which you can access online. And I actually have a chart in my book that kind of breaks it down by what, you know, body part or ailment you're freaking out about and what a good source might be to put next to your question in Google so that you get a little bit more targeted results. And then when it comes to brands that you follow, I mean, news organizations and magazines and wellness brands, look to the ones that really do have a track record of reporting on health responsibly. Do they have dedicated and trained health reporters? Are they transparent about their research and fact-checking process? Do they show their sources and really show their work so you know where this information is coming from? And, you know, filter out the rest of that noise right now, because I think it is kind of adding to our anxiety about our health.
Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right. Well, and you talked about this right at the beginning. You're a health editor, and I don't know, do you describe yourself as a hypochondriac? Are you somebody that's constantly Googling symptoms?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've gotten better at it throughout my career. Yes, you know, and in reporting this book, you know, I did learn at some point in my career, you know, I thought of a hypochondriac as someone who was always going to doctors and, you know, not leaving without an answer. And I didn't identify with that. I just kind of felt this constant anxiety around something being wrong in my body or wondering if I had that or that or that. And hypochondriac is apparently not really a term that's used anymore by psychologists or in the DSM. But health anxiety is essentially the symptom that falls into a few different mental health conditions like illness anxiety disorder and somatic symptom disorder and OCD. And so health anxiety is something that I think a lot of people can relate to. It's that feeling of like, oh no, do I have that? Or this symptom could be that. And so I think that it's something that even if you only experience it a little bit, not maybe to the magnitude that I do, it's really uncomfortable. And being exposed to all of these health and wellness messages, whether it's in the media or in advertisements or on the news, it can be a lot. It can be really triggering for someone like that.
Well, like I said, this is a book we need right now. And I love the title of it, Casey. It's probably nothing. And it probably is nothing, right?
Yeah. And even if it is, you know, this will help you navigate that a little bit more calmly.
Yeah, we need that for sure. Casey, thanks for your time. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.